Hello and welcome to another edition of the CBB Super Show. I am your host, Walter Waddell, a.k.a. Dub Deuces 85, joined as always by my partner in crime, co-host Pete Cole. We are coming to you in a podcast forum here. It's a two-gamer today in the Elite Eight. We will give some of our thoughts on the Elite Eight games tomorrow as well, and we'll have a podcast going over the pricing. And then we're going to cover the two showdown slates as well. Figure, you know, with a shorter slate on a two-gamer, we can definitely give you guys some plays for the showdown. Showdown had a lot of overlay yesterday in the NIT, which went out pretty well. So definitely some edge to be had there. And then talk a little bit about, you know, just brackets in general, matchups, just, you know, some banter. So lots going on in the basketball community. Transfers are still flooding through. We're heading for record numbers. So lots of fun stuff to talk about. Pete, the tournament is winding down. We're now in the showdown slash two game, you know, of the tournament. How are you feeling about things in general?
Well, I'd rather see a four-game slate, but I also don't like slates stretched over to 2 days, so I guess it is what it is.
Yeah.
I would probably rather deal with two-gamer, I guess. But, hey, it's pretty much one game we're pretty much looking at for DFS purposes, and we got to find a value somewhere. We got to be fine where we're going to be different than anybody else, especially on a two-game slate.
Yeah, absolutely.
GPP. I mean, I play these as GPP slates pretty much. I don't pretty much look at cash games and anything under three or two games.
Yeah, because there's just so much overlap. You know, I typically, yeah. I'll still play a lot of head-to-heads, but yeah, double-ups and stuff, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a lot of edge. So GPP-wise will make sense. And it's really going to be, there's merit to, you know, strategy-wise, instead of going balanced, because we're seeing defenses, you know, tighten, and we're seeing guys, you know, like last night with Figueroa in Oregon, you know, a mid-tier guy got shut down. It's almost better to straight up, like the old FanDuel strat, punt a guy way, you know, below 4K, and if he gives you, you know, 5 points, it's fine, as long as, you know, if you pay up for Grimes or one of these other guys, they go, you know, 35+. So there's merit to, you know, completely tossing aside one of your roster spots in order to strengthen the top, because raw points are going to become very popular. You've seen the last 2 days, even with four gamers, 240 to 250 has been taking down contests. We're no longer seeing, you know, 280 plus, and it's going to be even, you know, smaller now with the two gamers, especially when you have teams like Baylor, Houston, UCLA, you know, defensive squads that are capable of keeping games low scoring. So keep that in mind as you're building. So we have the two gamer here on DraftKings and FanDuel: Oregon State versus Houston, Arkansas versus Baylor. Oregon State Houston game, KenPom has it 71-62 in favor of Houston. 326 tempo ranking, Oregon State 305. Oregon State has done, you know, magical things here to make this run. You know, they had a shot in the Pac-12. They easily could have been beaten there late, and they made that run, and now here they are in the Elite Eight with a very convincing win over, you know, crowd favorite Loyola. Oregon State's shooting, you know, a majestic number right now. The, you know, the best that they have done all season. Their defense has been strong, but they're scoring from long range. Really impressed by the way they kind of just handled Loyola, took everybody out, and they let Krutwig do his thing, but nobody else on that team really stepped up. Houston doesn't want to fall in that trap of, you know, just taking a bunch of mid-range jumpers or not attacking the rim. That Oregon State, you know, defense is susceptible to picking up a lot of fouls. So Houston, this is where we'll see Giroux, who had a good game against the zone. Surprisingly, I was impressed by him there. But this is going to be back into a Giroux game for sure. He's going to be able to drive at will, kick out, draw fouls. Oregon State plays a kind of a hybrid, you know, man-to-man 2-3 that actually transforms into a variation of a 1-3-1. So they throw a lot of different looks out there. But Sampson's going to have his guys ready. I see Houston having a really nice game here. That starts with Giroux, of course. His price is very cheap at just 6-2. I think he'll be very chalky, and for good reason. You know, that's just way too cheap for him. So you're looking at the only guy on the slate really with probable triple-double upside. 23.6% usage rate, 20.3% shot rate. His assist rate's almost 30%. He's shooting 36% from long range, which is a very big improvement over his career. He hasn't been a very good three-point shooter, and his steal rate is pushing 3%. So a lot to like here about Giroux. Then it's a matter of what other, you know, Houston guys you want to play. Quentin Grimes is most expensive at 8-2. And that's where it's like you can go up to Grimes and know you're probably going to get a 30-point floor or take two mid-range guys. I still like Grimes. I think, you know, with people, you know, kind of burnt by him last game, I thought he'd have a much bigger game. He got in foul trouble, of course, but his rates are still strong. 29% shot rate, 26% usage rate, 41% from long range on 230 attempts, drawing 4.5 fouls per 40. So, you know, Grimes is going to have to play one of his best games here because of the way that Oregon State is playing. And Oregon State is, their defense has stepped up. You know, the teams in the tournament are averaging 0.97 points per possession, which is most comparable to a team like South Carolina from the SEC. They only mustered 0.97 per possession, and they were 6-15 this year. So Oregon State is doing some very special things defensively and making teams relegated to bottom feeder SEC in terms of performance on offense. I do think Houston will show up, though. Sasser was really good last game. Big to see him. He's kind of high variance, so that's tough. The easier part of the Oregon State defense to beat is down low and via strong rebounders. So you could look back to Justin Gorham, who predictably had a nice game, almost 30 fantasy points against Syracuse. With that, his price has gone up, of course, to 6-3. I do think he's cash viable, though. His offensive rebounding rate is very, very solid, 15.6%, which is 11th in the country. His offensive rating of 131.7, which is now top 10 in the country. That's gone up slightly. And he is a 36% shooter from long range. So he is a hard guy to have to guard, as he can step out and hit it, or he can, you know, go inside and you know, do damage down there. So Grimes, Gorham, Giroux, you know, all cash viable. Secondary plays, and this is where you're going to have to play a value on the slate that you're not super comfortable with, whether that's Bryson Gresham at 3-9, who has been playing roughly 18 to 20 minutes, Fabian White at 4-5, who's been playing 18 to 20 minutes, or even Tremont Mark at 4-7. Who has been playing over 20 minutes himself. So, you know, you could, to get value out of this, take one of those guys and hope for, you know, a 3X at worst kind of thing. I'd much rather do that than, you know, try Zach Reichel, maybe even Rodrigo Andela at 3-7, who, and you just never know with Oregon State, because in round two, they played Darion Tucker, and Andela didn't play at all. But then last game, Andela played all the minutes off the bench for the bigs, and Tucker didn't play at all. So there's a lot of risk with Oregon State, because you just really never know which of those backup big men are going to play. The only thing we know with certainty is that Ethan Thompson, Warith Alatiche, and Jared Lucas are going to play all the minutes they can handle. This is a bad spot for Ethan Thompson. He prefers to do a lot of backing down, post-up type of moves. Giroux is going to be guarding him. He will not be bullied, so I don't think we're going to see very much out of Thompson this time. It's really going to come down to Lucas getting open and how hot he'll be from long range. And then Alatiche, you know, super athletic, getting all the rebounds that he can against a very solid rebounding team in Houston. 6'9", Alatiche is still a very fair price with upside. But again, targeting against Houston hasn't really been a smart move much of the season. We might not have a choice on a two-game slate. But if I can help it, I'm going to be much more heavier exposed to the Houston side. And then obviously Arkansas-Baylor, like everybody else in general. So Oregon State's definitely your GPP look, as you're going to get some unique, you know, builds targeting them on a short slate with no one else. But really, it's just Lucas or Alatiche that I think are even playable from their side. So what's your plan of attack when you have a slate like this, where the first game is you know, kind of ugly for fantasy, and the second game is a, you know, a fantasy bonanza? Are you going to be just taking one from this game? Are you going to try to be different, take two or three? What are you planning here, and who do you like?
Well, I guess it all depends on which style you're going to go. Because if you're going to go head-to-heads and double-ups, yeah, you're pretty much going to trash this game. I'll probably play Giroux, and that's it, and move on. Because he's going to be very popular. But, you know, if you're running these GPPs, the multi-entry, and if you want to win, you know, the whatever, $3,000-$4,000, you got to be different. And you got to be real different. So if it's me, I'm taking a chance on this game. I mean, chances are, what, maybe a 10% chance the game goes off. But once again, you're playing a multi-entry GPP, where it's the only way you're going to win money. And to me, I can't even believe we're even talking about. If we were talking about Ethan Thompson 3 weeks ago, using Ethan Thompson in a game against Houston, we'd all be laughing. But really, I mean, the kid has played. He's had over 100, almost 105 DK points in those three wins against three good defensive teams: Tennessee, Oklahoma State, and Loyola. These guys aren't on any pushovers either. They're not Houston, but, I mean, Thompson has played, I mean, he's had a career three games. We've seen shit happen in March. You know, we've seen guys have, you know, weird special things happen. So, if I was going to play GVP multi-handed, I probably would have Ethan in one of my lineups, a 7-4. Problem is, if he shits the bed and goes cold, Oregon State's done. Pretty much, he's the whole team right now. Anybody else I would be looking at? Probably a guy like, like a Roman Silva, I guess. He's probably like, I don't know. I'd probably maybe look like a guy like a Maurice Kalou. I mean, he's done decent. His minutes are all over the place. But once again, I'm talking GBP here, and we're looking. Oregon State's gonna be leaning on him and Alatiche, right? So the kind of Houston's got undersized. So maybe a guy like Kalou in GBPs. Because I believe that, you know, your Reichels and your Silvers are going to be the popular ones. But cash games, absolutely nobody from this game. In GVPs, I would just be different. I would run out, maybe even line up with Alatiche and Ethan Thompson. You know what I mean? And then or definitely game stack this. Because who else is going to game stack this? Have we seen so many crazy things happen in March where this could be the way to go if you're making more than, you know, 3 or 4 GVPs? But Giroux is definitely going to be by far the – I think he probably can be the highest-owned guy in the slate. I mean, the only concern is that hip. But he's had back-to-back 30-minute games, and he's involved in these games too. So if you're playing cash, I think you have to play Giroux, and pretty much it. Gorham's the other guy on the Houston side I'd kind of like in – as a value play also, was it? Well, he's not even a value at 6K, so. Gorham did really well against SU, so and I think SU is better at Oregon State, me personally. You know, I'm an SU guy. But there's no use for this game in cash games. It's all the next game, pretty much.
Yeah, you really, you know, obviously you have to take at least one, and you said Giroux, which everybody will have, which is a smart move. The best path for Oregon State to possibly pull the dub here or cover, which I think they could, is Houston has a real bad, you know, their defense is so good. They're a bit grabby and handsy though, so they do get themselves in foul trouble. They actually, you know, they've got a pretty high foul rate. So with the way Thompson likes to play, backing down his defender and you know, getting aggressive in there, right. If he can get the foul trouble on Giroux before Giroux can get the foul trouble on him, then you could be looking at, yeah, a big game from Thompson, like you said. But it's just a really bad matchup for his play style. So I have concern about him. But if he can get Giroux in foul trouble, then definitely. And that is their one out. If the refs – and we have no consistency with the way the refs are calling fouls. We saw it yesterday with the Alabama game, Herb Jones getting those two early charges. And then late, which should have been a charge on UCLA, they didn't call it. And it's pretty obvious they're not wanting to call, you know, things late as opposed to early. So – it's all about them, you know, controlling the game early on. So we could definitely see that as a strategy from Oregon State, just, you know, go at them, you know, in the half court offense early and often and try to get them drawn on foul. So lots of risk here on the Oregon State side, definitely. But I like Giroux. I don't mind going to, like I said, you're going to have to punt somewhere if you're going to play some of the upper tier guys. Gresham's not a bad idea, sub 4K. I tried Fabian White the other day. You know, mixed results. He only had 10 or 11 fantasy points. I don't mind going back to him, but as a total, you know, 18 to 20 minutes at 3-9 for Gresham, there's potential there, especially if you think Gorham is going to get into foul trouble or any other bigs, because Cheney's only playing 10 to 15 minutes right now. He's really cheap too, but I don't know. I feel like Gresham is one of those sneakier options. So next game.
It looks like White's not fully ready yet from any time I've seen him. So, and I like that White call the other day too. You had, I just don't think something's not right from that ACL. So,
yeah, and it's with him, Gresham and Cheney all splitting minutes, and then Gorham playing, you know, upwards of 30. There's not a lot of minutes to go around, so these guys really have to be efficient in those, you know, 18 to 20 that they're getting. Why I think with Gresham at 3-9, you could possibly take that shot. All right, so Arkansas versus Baylor. KenPom has a 79-72 in favor of Baylor. Obviously, lots of points to be scored here. 179 Temple ranking for Baylor. Arkansas 17th. We're looking at, on FanDuel, a 148.5 total. Oregon State was 129.5. So, you know, 20 points higher. Obviously, we're going to see six, seven man stacks. You have to play somebody in the Houston game, you know, per lineup rules, but we could see a lot of, you know, seven man stacks here. And that would make total sense. Baylor, you know, they were looking, you know, bad in that first half. You know, Villanova, Jay Wright, great coach, they were gutting it out, but the lack of a point guard caught them. And in the second half, Baylor really asserted their will. There was a 4 minute stretch there in the second half where Villanova turned it over, I think, five times, and that was just it. You know, Baylor scored off every single time, whether it was a layup or a foul shots. So this Baylor team is very poised, but they've had some slow starts. They're kind of like Gonzaga in that way, starting slow in the first half. And if they start slow against Arkansas and Arkansas starts out on fire, you know, they don't want to dig themselves a hole too far that they can't come back from. So this is an interesting game. Lots of points to be scored. On the Arkansas side, we know Jalen Tate's going to play big minutes. He did great, by the way. A lot of us said had him at 5'2". We know that, you know, Justin Smith, Moses Moody, and our guy Devontae Davis, those four are going to play big minutes. And then they're just going to rotate between Jalen Williams, who didn't play a lot last game, which we did predict, J.D. Note, and then Desi Sills. Desi Sills came back and played, you know, 20-plus minutes, and he hadn't really been heard or seen for the last month. So that fifth spot in the Arkansas lineup is probably going to win people tournaments today if you can get it right. So if you're running multiples, you're going to want to rotate between Note and Sills. I do think Jalen Williams will end up sub 15 minutes again today, because the Baylor front court, while it's just the weakest part of the defense and you can attack, I just think that, you know, Arkansas's placed down the tournament, they're going to rely heavier on, you know, a fifth scorer as opposed to Jalen Williams, who does a lot of his damage down low. They're going to want Sills, who can shoot, Note, who can shoot, you know, or drive to the basket, in case Moody, Tate, and Davis are getting locked down by that, you know, plethora of Baylor guards who are, you know, otherworldly defenders. So they're going to need a guy who can score. So that's why I think Sills and Note are those plays. Note's down to 5'1", which is interesting. And then Sills at 4K, if, you know, it's worth a shot, where if you get a, you know, a zero from him or a two or three, you can still survive it because of, say, you're able thus to pay for Smith, Justin Smith, you know, Devontae or Jared Butler, you know, maybe Quentin Grimes. You know, you get those three, four, you know, pay-ups and they all go 40 plus, then it's really irrelevant what Sills does at that point. So I do think it's worth a shot for him. You know, as long as you go into it knowing that, hey, maybe he only gets 5 minutes. But with what I saw last game, I think this one profiles a little similar in terms of what Arkansas wants to do. They're much better when they run that smaller lineup, and they can afford to do it against Baylor, because while Flo Thamba is, you know, a tall, big guy, he really isn't going to be on the floor that much. That would warrant Arkansas playing a big fifth guy, you know, like Jalen Williams, certainly not Vanover. Sills, and he was a big-time scorer earlier this season, so Sills is capable if he gets the minutes. J.D. Note, of course, has a shot rate over 29%, usage rate over 28%, draws 5.5 fouls per 40. So if he's on the floor, he's definitely going to, you know, do some damage. He would start out, you know, running a lot of points, so he would probably get the Davion Mitchell matchup. Mitchell, of course, is a fantastic defender, so that would be the main concern, that Note gets shut down by Mitchell. And then you got to figure Jalen Tate, who's, you know, best defender on Arkansas, would end up on Jared Butler. So I could see Note, I've already been talking with somebody about this, and Mitchell, you know, battling each other out, Butler and Tate battling each other out. Maceo Teague's going to get really the softer part of the defense. Maceo Teague feels like the sneakier, you know, play on the slate, where people aren't really going to be talking about him. They're going to go straight to Butler, and I probably, you know, I'll be using him 2.77, great price, or even Davion Mitchell at 7.2, and people are just going to overlook, you know, Maceo Teague. He's got guard forward eligibility on DraftKings. 6.7 is a pretty fair price. His last two games, he's been under 20 fantasy points, so people are going to be like, I don't know. But, you know, this is a matchup where they're going to get a big pace boost. It's going to be lots of points. Similar profile games, he, you know, like Oklahoma State, he scored 30 fantasy points. Twice, actually 30 plus against Kansas, he was 31. Iowa State, 25. So similar, you know, lack of defense / up tempo games. I really like Maceo Teague here as one of the sneakier options of the slate. So I'm on him. And then, you know, you've got Matthew Mayer there at 5K. He didn't play a lot. It was a mistake, I think, against Villanova to not play him. He only had 12 minutes. We saw him more in the second half, but I think we'll see him play more. He's a matchup issue. They won't be able to run Jalen Williams or Vanover against him, because off the pick and roll, Mayer will do serious damage. So if we can get him back up over 20 minutes, I think at 5K is a fantastic play. It's just a big F, right? And then some sneakier value on Baylor's side, I think Flagler, 4-9. He's been consistently seeing 20-plus minutes. this is a solid matchup. Two of the three tournament games that Baylor has played, he scored over 20 fantasy points, so definitely don't sleep on him. 4-2 would have been much better, but, you know, this is where we're at on the two-game slate, so I do like Flagler as a sneakier GPP guy, or I'm even considering running in my main lineup. And then on Arkansas, I'm right back to Devontae Davis and Justin Smith. You know, and I used Tate last game. You know, at 5-2, I had no choice. He's up to 6-5 now, so I can safely get away from him. But I'm, you know, Justin Smith at 8K, getting the Baylor part of the defense that is pretty soft down low. They're beatable. So I'm back on him, very consistent. And then Devontae Davis's price dropped 200 after a 28 fantasy point game. And I get it. It's Baylor, tougher, you know, defense. But I think he may end up on the Teague side of things. And if he gets Teague, he should be able to find some room too. He's had three of his last four games over 25 fantasy points. He hasn't been under 20 since early March, you know, right before the tournament run started. So I'm a big Devo guy. I think he's a star in this program. He was super chalk last slate. He'll probably be chalkier again today. But those are the two locks from the Arkansas side for me. So I'm stacking it up. At least two Arkansas guys, possibly three if I want to take the shot between Stills and Note. And then on Baylor side, it's Teague and Butler for me. Possibly Mayer, maybe even Flagler, with Davion the last guy I would choose, but I do still like Davion Mitchell. I mean, you can stack up as many as you want. If you don't want to play Grimes, which is viable to fade him, I suppose, because of the totals in this one, you can play Mitchell over Grimes and do just fine. But if Grimes ends up being the lower owned, I'll probably use him just for the leverage because I think he's going to do well today with nobody on him. So stack it up, man. Stack it up. Let's get your take on this game, and then we'll talk about the showdown pricing for these games.
I do like the Flagler call at 4-9. He played almost 24 minutes the other day, 20 minutes against Wisconsin. So, I mean, he's been always in the 20s, going to be low-owned. His last two out of three games, he's had decent games against Harper and Nova. So, that's a really good call, and I really didn't think of Flagler. That 4-9 can go a long way. So, and I'm not going to repeat everything you said, because these are all basic plays. But we all know Butler uses their three guards. So he uses his concentrate around Mitchell, Butler, and Teague. I imagine the masses will go to Mitchell and Butler. So while they're all zig and zag with a Teague, because he's also cheaper, you know, Butler and Mitchell have maybe a bigger upside, but whatever. I would probably go with Teague, like a Butler and Teague. Butler's going to be so high owned where I think you got to use him, because if he goes off, you're screwed if you don't, you know, especially if you're playing these double ups. Meyer is another, probably the other value play. I mean, how many value plays are there? But I can see Meyer coming back and having a decent game here. He's shown it already, that he can put in huge games. I mean, Villanova did kind of hold him in check. But all these other games, he's went off. So if you don't want to use Flagler, then go to Meyer. And on the Arkansas side, I'm just trying to think differently here for GPPs. If you notice, Musselman was making comments after that game about Note was putting so much pressure on himself. That's why I put Sills in. Because I think you got to get this Sills, Williams, Note right. Which one of those guys is going to play the heavy minutes? And that's going to be the key to your slate, especially GUPs. So you got to decide. I mean, it's going to be a coin flip. It could be. But you want to decide which one you're going to use. I think Sills and Note about the same to me. Maybe Note. I mean, I know Baylor is really guard heavy, so I don't know. I guess I would probably maybe lean with a gun on my head, Note. I mean, he hasn't played huge minutes, but this type of game of JD Note could come in and have a big game. So I would choose Note over Sills and Williams out of those three. But anything else? I think you got to use Butler. I'll probably jump Teague over Mitchell to be a little bit different. And then the other play I didn't mention is Vital. I think Vital is a great play, and because I think 5-3 is a great price. So he's probably your GPP pivot, probably to you know, to like a Teague or something too, if you're gonna use Teague. So it's just tough for these two gamers. I think you got to get these value guys right, and it's, I think a lot of luck's involved too, unless you really know the inner workings of Musselman and his staff, which way he's gonna go. But I would probably be leaning Notay today in that. So
all right, yeah, and Baylor's defense, you know, we know it's aggressive. They do a lot of like off-ball switching when their screens are off the ball. They don't pack the middle quite as much. We did see in those Oklahoma State games when they played Baylor, guys like Cade Cunningham, Avery Anderson, they did really well, you know, attacking the basket or getting, you know, in the paint shots. So I do think that Justin Smith, Jalen Tate, and Devo Davis, they all like to, you know, get their shots in the painted area, or, you know, those jumpers, which is how you beat Baylor with, you know, offside, weak side jump shots. So that's their path for those three guys. I think people will probably, you know, take Moody too, which is fine. But
I didn't really mention Moody
on the Davis Smith side. Moody may be the GPP guy today.
Definitely, I said if you're making a bunch of lineups, definitely make one with Moody leading, you know, headlining your lineup. And that's why if you make five lineups, and make sure when you make your five lineups, make sure, you know, look at your first lineup and just start switching guys in and out. You know, there's so many different angles, and you can interchange guys where you can put together a decent lineup here and still have all, you know, decent scores here. So I would definitely I'd have Moody headline in one lineup, Butler as my main guy in another, maybe like a Justin Smith one and Ethan Thompson the other. Something weird is going to win you a GPP here. It's not going to be the lineup we all think.
Yeah, definitely, especially on the smaller slates. Now, right. The battle of the offensive glass will determine who wins this. You know, Baylor, one of the best offensive, you know, rebounding teams in the country, but Arkansas is, you know, a plus offensive rebounding team as well, especially Justin Smith. So whoever's able to get those second and third chances today are going to win. So I definitely want to be targeting the Justin Smiths, maybe even a Matthew Mayer, you know, guys that do a lot of their damage on the inside, because I think the three-point shooting is going to be negated by both sides, you know, defense. So it'll be kind of the opposite of what we're used to seeing in today's basketball. I mean, they're still going to take threes, but I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of inside the arc shots today.
He's probably been playing better basketball than anybody in this tournament. So, I mean, since they switched him
to the five over the four and went with that smaller lineup, it's kind of changed Arkansas's whole season. You know, and Smith's had a career year because
been dominant.
So, all right, we're going to talk some prize picks here in a minute, too. But first, I do want to talk about the showdowns. Like I said, it kind of stretches things out. There's really, you know, nothing else to play. So definitely look at the showdowns. There's some big prizes. There's a 1K to first in the Oregon State-Houston showdown. There's a 5K to first in the other game, Arkansas-Baylor. So looking at Oregon State-Houston, pricing-wise, Giroux is at 7-6, which is fantastic, I think. You'll see him be the most popular captain, 11.4 for him, as opposed to, like, you know, Thompson, 14.7. So look at a lot of Giroux. Value-wise, Bryson Gresham, 4-2. Fabian White, 5K. Those are the guys that even Reggie Chaney, 1-8. You can afford a bust in showdown more than you can in, obviously, you know, your main regular slates. So you can take that 1-8, you know, savings for a guy like Reggie Chaney and throw him out there, hope to get five, because, you know, at that price, you're probably going to get 5-6x, which is fine. And it gets you in a little bit of extra, you know, a better captain, guys like Grimes, Gorham, Alatiche, some more firepower. So I would really be looking at, you know, using Chaney for that reason, or a guy like White, and then stacking him up with Gorham, Giroux, Grimes, and then running it back with either Alatiche or Thompson. Yesterday in the Memphis showdown, you know, their defense, fantastic. I wasn't big on Mississippi State in general, so I went with a 5-1 build-in showdown. You know, five Memphis guys, one Mississippi State, and it worked really well. Nearly took a few things down. So I think this one is definitely ripe for a 5-Houston-1 Oregon State build. Personally, you have any thoughts on the showdown slate? Or
yeah, well, all right. So if I'm playing showdown, Drew's gonna be highly owned at captain at 7-6 price. So I think usually those entries are like we can make three or four. I haven't even looked at them yet. So if I'm going that way, I'm making Marcus Sasser one of my captains, who's $600 less than Giroux. You can almost make the same lineup. You'd be make making with Girola if you're making cash lineups, but then throw Sasser as your captain. I think he's in a good spot at that price. And Gorham, I think, is in a good spot too. He's 8K regular, so whatever his captain price is. Because, man, Gorham is, I mean, we already said it, but I mean, Gorham is just totally taken over on rebounds. I mean, he totally demolished Syracuse. So I can see another big game for Gorham here, just thinking differently. And then the real value plays, I probably would take probably Chaney at 1-8. If you get 10 minutes out of Chaney, you're going to make value. If not, I'd probably look at Maurice Clough. Or maybe get 15 minutes out of him, 12, 15 minutes. They would be my two value guys. I probably wouldn't be dropping anywhere else unless maybe a Gianni Hunt. He's 3-2. So I like the Chaney call.
Yeah. So for that first showdown, I think a 5-1 build would work pretty well.
Definitely.
Next one, Arkansas Baylor. Obviously, you can spread it out more, maybe a 4-2. 3-3s are always like nice looking, but I read something a while back in all sports that the 3-3 showdown builds actually don't end up winning tournaments as much as a 4-2. So 4-2 is kind of the optimal thing. So I'd probably do a 4 Baylor, 2 Arkansas here. Devo Davis is 9-6 in the captain slot, 6-4 otherwise. That's pretty solid. I think where you can be unique would be Macy Oteague at the captain price of 11.4. That's over 3K discount from Justin Smith and about 2K from Jared Butler. I would assume a lot of people are going to go just straight to Butler, Moody, or Smith as their captain. So the Teague captain spot would be interesting, especially if he, you know, has one of his 30 fantasy point games where he's knocking down 5-6 triples, which is very, you know, much in play here against Arkansas. I think he's sneaky. And then you've got plenty of value to make it work if you do want to go to Butler Smith captain. You know, Mayer 5-2, Flagler 4-8, Desi Sills is 3K. So there's a lot in play here. You could even go with JTT, you know, Chamua Chachua at 2-4. I didn't mention it in the game for the main slate, but I'm actually thinking of using him potentially too if I don't go with Mayer or Vital. I think JTT is pretty decent. He's priced at 2-4 on the showdown slate. Probably going to play roughly 15 to 20 minutes. You know, gets you, if he gets like 10 on the showdown slate, you're feeling pretty damn good about it. So he's definitely a guy in play for value that won't be that owned. Same with Desi Sills if you think he's going to play, you know, 20 plus minutes today. So a lot of combinations on the Baylor showdown. I'm glad they made the contest really large because that should be a fun game and it'll be something unique that takes down that GPP, I feel, for this showdown.
Yeah, I would probably roll Teague in the captain spot also. The cheapest price of not Teague, I would probably go Teague, then Devo Davis, and then probably like, I don't know, like a Tate. Butler's gonna be really popular. The JTT call is a pretty cool call actually, and he's, you know, he's getting 15 minutes, so.
Yeah. All right, and then we've got prize picks here. So I have three featured in the article. They may change, but right now, it's just the three I feel good about. They're pretty tight today. I have Jared Butler over 29.5 fantasy points. I do think this is one of those games where we see the Butler explosion. It's been a couple weeks since we really have seen it. Quentin Grimes over 16.5 single points. I think he's going to score a lot today. He's going to have to if they're going to win that game. And then I do have JD Notte under 24.6 fantasy points. He could easily hit that over, but where I think the under is in play is the minutes, right? You know, if this ends up being a Sills game where he wants to play Sills more after what he did last game.
Notte's drop. He's at 23.5 now.
Oh, 23.5. Okay, so if he didn't, that means people are hitting the under then. Okay, 23. Yeah, I probably wouldn't go any lower than that if you don't get it before then. I may take that out then, but I still think under up to 23 fantasy points is in play for him just because of the minutes and the tough Baylor defense. He's going to see, you know, Davion Mitchell on him, which is going to make things difficult for him. You don't get the 3-point bonus on Prize Picks. Rebounds are 1.2 instead of 1.25. So there's a lot going against him to make that mark. So that's why I have him as the under. Is there any other Prize Picks that, you know, jumping out at you here, whether it's the single stat, rebound assist, points, or fantasy points?
Well, of course, Marcus is only 20. He's going to hit 20, damn it. Yeah, he's going to, too. He put up 25 shots in the last three games, almost 40 shots in the last three games. Sasser's hitting that over. And a Butler call is what, and I think Butler's way too low. I totally agree with you. This is gonna be a Jared Butler game. He hasn't had it yet. It's coming today. And then he's just gonna blow up in the Final Four. This is Butler's time to shine.
Yeah, and we're seeing. I mean, obviously we know Arkansas. Lead guards are doing some work against them. I mean, and we know that, you know, we just saw that with Oral, obviously, Ace Miss. They played that LSU game back on the middle of March. You know, Cam Thomas and Javonte Smart had big games against them. So, yeah, I would be very shocked to see Butler not produce here. Right. Xavier Pinson, you know, put up 20-plus against them recently. So, all the stars should align for him to have a big game. I definitely like that. And if it goes up before you get it in, I would be willing to go up to like 31.5 to 32 for him on the over on Prize Picks. Yeah, I'm pretty confident in Butler. He's going to be chalk on DFS, but for Prize Picks specifically, definitely going to go over 30 fantasy points today.
If he doesn't go up, Arkansas is probably going to win the game. So
yeah, definitely. So that's pretty much it. Short and sweet for you guys. We will be back tomorrow to go over the pricing for the next Elite Eight slate, and then we'll have a few days off, and then Saturday's Final Four, back to a normal schedule Saturday, and then Monday title game. They're doing Saddies for a big showdown slate. You know, the championship's probably going to be a huge contest, big money on the line. So get yourself prepared, you know, familiarized and confident with your showdown builds now, today, so that when the championship game comes up, you're not, you know, I don't know what to do, what works, what doesn't. You know, experiment today and tomorrow so that you can, you know, be competitive when that time comes. But we're basically a 1 week left, and then college basketball is sadly over. This year flew by, Pete, but it was nice to even have a tournament. It's gone great. Yeah. That Oral Roberts squad made it fun. I'm really hoping for, you know, the Oregon State story has been fun, but I'm a big Houston fan, so I would love to see them advance today. I'll be pulling for them, and I'll also be pulling for the Baylor-Arkansas one's tough. I think I would want Baylor to win from a competitive edge, but I have two guys from Arkansas in that Sirius Satellite League, so I would prefer for Arkansas to win for that reason alone. I have Moody and Justin Smith in that league, so I don't know. That's going to be I hope it's an exciting game, and you know, Baylor doesn't just blow them out. I don't think they should, but with the way Baylor's defense played in that second half last game against Nova, if they play like that, I think the season might be over for Arkansas. But either way, another good day of basketball. Pete, any final words before we head out?
Nope. This is pretty much like your last – well, we got the next one too. But the last two, you know, real slates before just showdown. So make it – my advice is make it worth it. Be different today. Just try to think out of the box. Just try to think of what opposite you would do in cash games. And, you know, throw some game stacks in there for GPPs and have some fun with it. Just don't get crazy. Two game slates, man. Anything can happen. You can lose your ass quick here. So
definitely appreciate all the support and continued support of the throughout the year from everyone that subbed to us. And we're in the premium, you know, college room messing around with us, you know, jokes, doing lineups, all that good stuff. So we will, of course, post starters or any relevant, you know, lineup news. We're also talking transfer stuff there heavy. So if that interests you, get over there and talk, you know, transfers with us or college basketball free agency, as some are calling it. Lots of fun stuff on the horizon. So appreciate it, guys. Good luck today, and see you later.
All right. Good luck.